Let me see the sunlight on your skin, girl. Let me see the sunlight on your skin. It's getting hard, let's take it off. You get the beer, I'll find the pot. And let's feel the sunlight on our skin, girl.
In episode 3, we heard from the gatekeepers to the demigod. If the receptionists are the gatekeepers, I guess it's time to meet the demigods. Let's enter the GP's office and get a script.
How important is having a good doctor to you?
It's more important than having a good lover, actually. Like, your doctor is just so important to, because he's the guy with the keys. You know, if I can't have my script, you know, he takes my methadone and that puts me into a shithole.
In our conversations with the community, there was a common concern around honesty, trust, fair treatment and being kicked out of the methadone program. There's a real fear that ending up back on the streets will end up being the alternative.
What's the outcome for you in that situation?
Look, I don't know now. After all this time, you know, I'd probably get a rap on the knuckles and be threatened with losing my takeaway privileges because, you know, it's something that they don't like at all. And, you know, people get thrown off the program for having a dirty urine.
And what's the result of that if you
Well, then you're back on the streets again. So you're buying from people who are trying to make money themselves because they've got, you know, you're just thrown back into a world of chaos where nothing can sort of be predicted until you've scored. And that's what your day has to be about.
A urine drug screen, or a UDS, analyses patients' urine for the presence of certain illegal drugs and prescription medications. Taking urine drug tests throughout drug treatment helps the GP to ensure that the plan is working and that the patient is no longer taking drugs. Finn describes his experience with his GP after his accident.
He got a letter from the hospital when I was discharged from the pain management team asking him to prescribe for me with no drug history whatsoever, and he still makes me piss in front of him every time I go in.
Finn has been on buprenorphine for almost 2 years for pain relief due to his accident. And requests for urine testing continues despite a continuous history of clean urine tests. We asked one of our GPs, David, a mild-mannered guy who has been working in the Darlinghurst area in Sydney's east for about 25 years. Does honesty get you booted off the program?
Because if people are up front with me, it's not like I will say, oh, now you've told me what you're really doing, I'm going to now... You'll never be stopped, kicked off the program. That just doesn't happen. All that would happen is we'd have to have a discussion about what your aims are and is the treatment working for you? Can we modify the treatment in some way so that it's going to be more helpful for you?
Okay, so what about someone like Christian who has come in to see his GP regarding something completely non-drug related?
I really am not honest. I don't discuss my drug use with my GP. Mainly because I don't see them about drug-related issues, if you like. So my concern is that as soon as I mention drug use, that's what the engagement is going to become about rather than, you know, the actual presenting issue that I'm coming to see them for. So, yeah, I think the decision to sort of not disclose... again, it's having that default setting of being very apprehensive about the engagements you have with other people.
Dr. David, our GP from Darlinghurst, ponders the question of whether it is anyone else's business if someone chooses to use drugs.
I do agree with that sentiment. I think all drugs should be decriminalised. So I support people's choices in using whatever drugs they want to use. The only point I have to make, though, is that that's up to them what people use. But if you are receiving opioid substitution therapy like methadone or buprenorphine, then the people involved in supporting you with that program, which is the prescriber and the pharmacist, they have a duty of care to ensure that medication is provided in a safe way, because they are totally liable medically and legally if something happens to you that may have been caused by the prescribing of that drug. I think people who use have to understand the the pressure that we're under to supervise the program in a safe way. And that sometimes means that people may feel that the program is overstructured or unfair. But from our point of view, unfortunately, we see the disasters that happen when the program is not properly run. And this creates a fair amount of anxiety for us as prescribers and also for pharmacists who dispense, because everyone's constantly worried about the very rare times when people overdose or get given too much medication.
Kim raises with David that many drug users we have spoken to don't necessarily want all of their problems solved by their GP.
Most of the people we see, we are their GP as well as their opioid substitution therapy prescriber, and that we're very concerned about their overall health. I mean, a big example of that recently is really hepatitis C, that we have over 1,000 patients at our practice who have hepatitis C and about 1,500 with HIV. So we are very concerned about patients' total well-being. And drug use is often only a small part of that. I don't really like, I guess, the idea of people running in, running out, and just getting a script, because I don't see that as being what we stand for in being a thorough GP.
So, for David, it's important to know about a person's drug use because he wants to provide the best, most holistic care that he can. The role and oath of a GP is wrapped tightly around a duty of care. David takes pride in the fact that as a GP, he is a lot more concerned for a drug user's well-being than a dealer on the streets, and he's just fine with that. Have any of our drug users thought about the health implications of their use? We asked Jude about her experience.
So if your immune system's always jumping up, it gets tired and, you know, involves a little holiday, and it has a little holiday and you get an abscess somewhere in your spine or endocarditis or something like that. So, yeah, it does. And then there's hepatitis. Most of us have hepatitis because hepatitis wasn't anything the government worried about because we didn't give it to anybody else and they didn't even know about hep C in the beginning. And when they did, they didn't really care about it until they realised how much money we were going to cost them. Oh, so the toll on my body, yeah. So, yeah, look, I've had a couple of quite serious abscesses, like internally, that's a result of, you know, just my body being tired, and I had hepatitis C, and, yeah, I've got a healthy respect for doctors and nurses because I spent a lot of time with them. When you get hepatitis, you go yellow, so you've got yellow eyes, you've got yellow skin. I didn't think it was my best look, so I've never been able to sort of like deal with the colour yellow again. So my kids never give me yellow flowers or anything to do with yellow because I just think hepatitis and I don't need that.
The problem though, as Christian will reveal, is the danger of not feeling comfortable disclosing drug use to the GP or just avoiding the GP regarding drug-related and non-drug-related health issues completely. There are real consequences in this locked dance between drug users and GPs.
The other problem is I know that I've gone through a number of health issues that I wish I could have spoken to a GP about, but having gone through, you know, having researched as much as I could myself and knowing, you know, the limited options that are out there, it makes it very hard to see that disclosing to a GP would be worth it for me. So that's why I guess I've made the decision not to.
While we speak of community fears of being kicked off methadone programs or not being able to retain their takeaway doses, there is another fear that needs to be mentioned, and that fear belongs to the GPs.
They've got so much riding on their medical career, and they've really had the fear put in them that if they don't work exactly within the rules of prescribing SAs, like your oxycodones and your OxyContins, they will get deregistered and their lives will just be shattered. So they tend to over-engineer their response.
The result of this over-engineered response can mean that if a patient comes in who legitimately requires an analgesic that happens to be an opiate, the GP's fears kick in and can affect the way they respond to these patients.
But because you fit into a certain demographic, the doctor will go, oh, this patient's seeking this for recreational use rather than legitimate use. So if they ever get the idea that an S8 is being used for that reason, it's really quite scary for a practitioner.
Associate Professor Gowing tells us that in Australia, medicines defined as Schedule 8, S8, under the Standard for the Uniform Scheduling of Medicines and Poisons, are strictly regulated because of the high risk of misuse and or physical and psychological dependence associated with them. They have to be prescribed, dispensed, documented and destroyed in specific ways that are in compliance with each state and territory's different drug regulations. Methadone is listed as a Schedule 8 drug, reserved for therapeutic use, and has high potential for abuse and addiction. The possession of drugs such as methadone without authority is an offence.
Most states and territories have regulations in place that govern the prescribing of methadone, and because methadone is a more dangerous drug than buprenorphine in the sense that it's easier to overdose on methadone than it is on buprenorphine.
Aside from being wedged firmly between government-imposed regulations and adhering to a duty of care, we hope that there can be a better shared understanding of some of the fears that are experienced by both drug users and healthcare professionals.
Overall, do you think they do a good job?
They try. Absolutely, they try. And most of them are really, really lovely and kind.
But to those drug users who are struggling, some advice from Jude.
Absolutely. You know, you don't have to wear what they throw at you. You absolutely don't. The problem is, though, when people are doctors and people or pharmacists or people in power, you do have to interact with them. You can't not. But you have to learn ways to manage it, you know. And you can always take someone with you. You know, you don't have to bear the brunt of that ugliness yourself, you know. And don't take that ugliness on. You're a good person living in a world that's really problematic and everybody's struggling and no one knows what's happening half the time, you know. You are what you are and you're good.
In this episode, we've focused on two perspectives, drug users and medical professionals, and what it means to visit a GP. Whether it be for a methadone script or when you just need to go to the doctor that requires another prescription. Drug users have told us that their drug use isn't anyone's business. The GP stated that they are in a highly regulated but caring profession, and if they know or suspect about a patient's drug use, that they see their service as holistic, they ensure their patient is healthy. We also heard that some drug users don't want to be questioned and so will not go to their GPs at all. We wondered that, if the opportunity was identified to have a conversation between the patient and the doctor, that a balance could be found that meets both of their needs. Make sure you check out the resources to help you feel comfortable in initiating these conversations. In the next and final episode of our series, Jude finally gets her script and heads into the pharmacy.
So by the time you've got home, got your prescription, you must be exhausted.
Oh, yes, you know, a bex and a good lie down. Yeah, no, because it just, every one of those interactions reinforces your difference, or they think you're different. And even if you don't care, it does get tiring.
Summertime just comes around once a year, boy. Summertime just comes around once a year. And if the sun is shining, don't you be inside crying, 'cause summertime just comes around once a year.